Yeah. Thank you so much.
Thank you for sharing. Aww.
Thank you.
Yeah, how good's that? That's good stuff. Yeah, so thank you guys again for your generosity and giving towards that to be able to be a blessing to those that are being a blessing to others. There, you can hop online, see some of the other stories that we've been able to be a part of over the past. And if you want to get involved in that, you can hop on there and be a part of Dollar Club next month as well. But I want to wish you guys good morning, those that are in the room, those that are joining us online. Thank you for taking some time out of your day so you can come and you can connect with God and connect with God's people. If we've been working our way slowly through the Gospel of Luke, and we are going to continue to do that today. If you want to turn to Luke chapter 8, we will get there in just a few minutes. And as you're doing that, let me pray for us. Father, we are so thankful. Thankful that we have this opportunity and this privilege to gather in your presence, to sing songs of your worth back to you, and now, God, to sit under your word. Help us to open up our minds and our hearts and our ears to what you have to say to us today. Spirit, do a work in our lives. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Have you ever tried to explain something to someone and you think that you are being so clear and you lay it out, but they just don't get it? Maybe it's a restaurant that you're raving about or some movie that you've seen, and you convince them that they have to go, and then they come back and like, it was okay. And you're like, how did you miss it? That was life-changing. Or maybe you've had this moment with technology. Maybe you're trying to show your parents how to use their phone, and you're saying, just tap the app. That's all you have to do. And it's like they're looking at you like you're trying to explain to them how to defuse a nuclear bomb or something. Or maybe it's with a friend who just refuses to see the obvious. And they keep making the same bad decisions. They keep entering into one bad relationship after another. Or they're making terrible lifestyle decisions. Or they continue to make bad financial decisions. And you just want to shake them and say, how do you not see this? It's right in front of you. But this also happens in our faith, doesn't it? There are some people that when they first encounter Jesus, they immediately go all in, no hesitation. And then others will hear the same message, see the same evidence, and nothing happens. And you walk away and it's just confusing. Why don't they see it? And maybe you've actually seen this in your own life. That there are these seasons where God just feels so close and you can see his hand so clearly in your life and the word of God is just alive in your life. And then there are other seasons where God just feels distant and his word seems irrelevant in your life. And you've looked at your own life going, why is that? Why is it that I have to go through these seasons where God's word is alive and other times where it's not? If you've ever felt that way, you're not alone. It was happening in the time of Jesus when he was walking the earth. People had drastically different responses to the same message. You had Peter, James, and John, and a whole bunch of others that when they met Jesus, they knew. They saw his power. They heard his teaching, and they just got it. This wasn't just another teacher. He wasn't just another rabbi, and they started to think that he could be the Messiah, and for a lot of them, that realization changed everything. So some of them left behind their businesses and their boats, and they just walked away, and they immediately followed him. One of them, Matthew, was a tax collector, one of the most lucrative jobs that you could have in the Roman Empire, and he met Jesus at a tax booth, and he immediately walked away from it all. And then there were the ones who had been healed, where he touched them and he freed some from demons and others from lifelong diseases. And they saw firsthand his power and they left everything and followed him. But then you had the crowds and they would gather around him and they would come in droves and they were excited about his teaching and they were amazed by his miracles. But most of them, afterwards, they would just go back home. There was no life change. There was no commitment to follow him. And then you had the religious leaders of the day. And they weren't just skeptical. They were getting angrier every single day that they saw him, believing him to be some kind of heretic. And they started plotting to kill him. And so as Jesus traveled from town to town, the crowds were getting bigger and the buzz was getting louder, but the confusion was growing too. Why is it, or why was it, that some people got it instantly while others missed what was right in front of them? Why did some start strong and follow him for a brief period of time and then not stick with it? Well, Jesus saw the confusion and probably heard the confusion in the voices of his disciples, and so he told a story. He told a parable about a farmer and some seeds and four different soils to explain why it is that some get it and some don't. And to explain to us, even as believers, of why sometimes we hear so clearly from God and sometimes we don't. It starts in Luke 8, verse 4. It says, while a large crowd was gathering and people were coming to Jesus from town after town, he told them this parable. A farmer went out to sow a seed. And as he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path, and it was trampled on, and the birds ate it up. Some fell on rocky ground, and when it came up, the plants withered because they had no moisture. Other seed fell among thorns, which grew up with it and choked the plants. And still other seed fell on good soil, and it came up and yielded a crop 100 times more than was sown. So in Jesus' day, the farmers in that time, they didn't plant a seed at a time. They used this broadcasting method. And he would have a pouch on his side, and he would walk along a path in the middle of his field, and he would just cast the seed into some of the soil that had been tilled up. And so some of the seed would naturally fall on good soil, and sometimes it wouldn't. And Jesus uses this parable and this analogy to describe four different heart conditions, four different attitudes that we can have towards God's word. And honestly, we've all been in each of these soils at some time in our life. We vary from time to time, and sometimes we're open to God's word, and sometimes we're closed. And he's going to go on and explain each of these soil types in a little more detail. And these are the four different ways that we can respond to God's word when it comes into our lives. The first soil that he describes is a hard heart. He says, those along the path are the ones who hear, and then the devil comes and takes away the word from their hearts so that they may not believe and be saved. In every field, again, there was this footpath that would go down the middle of the field, and so it was hardened by all of the foot traffic that went through, and the soil was compacted, and so some of the seed that fell out of his pouch would fall on that hard ground, and it would just lay there, and it would get snatched up before it took root. And he says the same thing can happen in our lives, that the seed of God's word gets thrown into our lives, and before it has a chance to take any root in our lives, the truth is snatched away from us. Some of you will experience this today. Even right now, you're thinking, you know, I've not really thought about this before. It's kind of interesting to think about how it is that my heart can determine whether or not God reaches me or not. But as soon as the service is over, you're going to get distracted. You're going to start thinking about where we're going to go to lunch or what we're going to watch on TV later. And just like that, it's snatched away. Or somebody's going to pull out in front of you in the parking lot. And immediately, God's word just gets snatched away from you. You lose Jesus out in the parking lot sometimes. But sometimes there's something else that causes this kind of hardened response to God's word. God is wanting to speak to us, but there are times when our minds and our hearts are closed and we're unwilling to listen. We don't want to hear from God. What causes that in our hearts? If you want to, jot down like four different ideas, that four reasons why it is sometimes we have this hardened heart. Sometimes it's pride. And pride says, I've got this. I don't need God. I can make this business decision. I have enough experience and wisdom. I don't need God in this. I can make this financial decision. I know how to handle this relationship. I know how to raise my kids. And any time we fail to pray about a decision, we are basically saying to God, God, I don't need you in this. I've got this figured out. And when I'm full of pride, I start closing my mind to God, and he can't get in because we shut him out. The second one is indifference. And indifference says, I hear what you're saying, God, but I'm not going to respond. And that's a really risky thing to do. There is a real danger to not acting on God's promptings in our lives. If I hear a truth and in the back of my mind, I start thinking, you know, I should do something about that. I should change that in my life. I need to call that person. I need to forgive that person. And if I have that prompting and I promptly ignore it and I never respond, then after a while what happens is my heart gets a little bit hardened. It gets a little more calloused to the promptings of God, and his light in our lives and his leading in our lives starts to grow a little bit dimmer because of our inaction. Here's the third one, is fear. Fear says, what if God asks me to do something that I don't want to do? What if he calls me to change something that I'm not ready to change yet? What if following him costs me something? What if he asks me to do something radical or hard or unpopular? What if people start thinking I'm some kind of religious freak if I start following what he's saying? And some people close their minds and their hearts to God out of fear of what he might ask them to do. And the fourth one is bitterness. You know, the fact is that we live in this broken world, and so we all experience hurt and pain in our lives, but bitterness, prolonged bitterness, can harden us to God. We start saying things like, God, why did you allow that to happen to me? And some of you have experienced abuse in your lives, or you've experienced betrayal at the hand of a spouse, or you've experienced loss and pain, and that pain is still fresh and it hurts. Some of you have been hurt by others who claim to be Christians, or you've been burnt by a bad church experience in your past, and our tendency is to blame God for what broken people have done to us. And we end up building these walls and shutting ourselves off to other people, and in so doing, we shut ourselves off to God as well. And if you've been hurt, I want to say two things. One, I'm sorry. I truly am sorry that you have to, that we all have to experience hurt in this life. But secondly, I would say, don't allow that hurt to cause you to run away from God. Cause it to help you to run to God. Don't turn away from God because of what someone else did to you. He is the only one that can heal what's broken. He is the only one that can redeem it for good. The tragedy of a heart that has been hardened by pride or fear or indifference or bitterness is that nothing can grow there. It's an unfruitful life. It's a wasted life. But the good news is that God can break up that hardened soil, that he can still produce a work in you if you've been experiencing a hardened heart in your life. Here's the second response. Soil number two is a shallow heart. He says, those on the rocky ground are the ones who receive the word with joy, and when they hear it, but they have no root. They believe for a while, but in the time of testing, they fall away. So in ancient Israel, much of the ground just has a thin layer of soil over top of a bedrock of limestone. And so seeds that fell into this shallow soil, they would quickly sprout up. You would see some sprouting, but they had little depth. The roots couldn't go deep enough. And so when the sun came out, the plant would wither because it lacked the ability to draw moisture from deep in the ground. And Jesus is saying that this represents a superficial or a shallow type of response to God's word. It's someone that gets excited for a season, and there's this burst of growth in their lives. There's a newness in their lives. They start to see a little bit of change in their life, and then just like that, it's gone. It's temporary. And when the troubles come, and when hardship comes, or when God doesn't show up like they expect and he disappoints them, they fade away. And I think we all know people like that. I know in the last 16 years of pastoring this church, I've seen a lot of people who start off great. And there was enthusiasm, there was joy in their lives, but it ended up being temporary. And today, they're nowhere to be found, or they're here and they're kind of licking their wounds and they're staying off on the sidelines. And many withered because of the trials that came into their life, and they didn't have the root to withstand that. And listen, we all have times like that. We all have times when we hear some truth of God in our lives and we get excited and we get moved, but we don't give it time to really sink into the layer of our soul. And so over time, It fades away. And there wasn't lasting change that happened. It was just this shallow, superficial response. The difference between a superficial response and lasting change comes down to one thing: roots. If you don't have deep roots of faith, then when the hardship of life happens, it's going to knock you down every time. But when you allow your roots to go deep, you can withstand those storms of life, and you can remain committed and faithful to God. See, the Christian life, it isn't about chasing after emotional highs or quick spiritual fixes. It's about showing up day after day and staying faithful and committed to God and His Word, even when it's tough. That's what builds a lasting, strong, deep faith. Think about it this way. Like, if you're trying to get in shape, if you're trying to lose some weight, what actually works? Crash diets or consistent habits? You know, we all want the quick fixes to work in our lives, but we all know, we've lived long enough that those crash diets, they don't really work. The weight just comes back. But a lot of us approach our faith in that same way. We look for a shortcut, something that will bring instant change in our lives, but real spiritual growth doesn't happen overnight. Real spiritual growth comes down to daily intentional choices that add up over time to a changed life. And just like a healthy lifestyle, the key is consistency. That I need to take in a daily, weekly diet of opening up my heart to God's Word and opening up my life to others. That's how our faith grows some deep roots to allow us to withstand the storms of life. And here's the third response to God's Word. Soil number three represents a distracted heart. Jesus says, "The seed that fell among the thorns stands for those who hear, but as they go on their way, they are choked by life's worries, riches, and pleasures, and they do not mature." The thorny ground, the weedy ground, represents a preoccupied or a distracted heart. This is the heart that has a desire for God, but there's a lot of other desires competing as well. God is one of many pursuits. God is one of many priorities. In our day, there are so many things that are vying for our attention. There are so many things that are competing for our time and our energy and our priority. And Jesus says that these things, these distractions that come into our lives, are like weeds. They're like thorns that can choke out our spiritual growth. And He names three of them by name. He says the first is worry. Worry can distract us from hearing from God. And here's the thing, there is a level of appropriate concern as we go through life. God doesn't just want us walking through life carefree, singing kumbaya. I mean, there are times in life where we have right to be concerned, but we also know that there is a kind of worry that can take over our lives, that consumes our thinking, that keeps us up at nights. And it's those kinds of worry that can push God into the background of our lives. And you start to think, God doesn't see. God doesn't see what I'm going through right now. Or God doesn't care about what I'm going through right now. But He's definitely not doing anything about this. And if I don't step in and do something, then this whole thing is going to fall apart. And so you do what you have to do, even if it means making spiritual compromises in your life, and before you know it, worry has choked out your faith and has pushed God into the background. Another distraction that He mentions is riches. That we can get so busy making money that we forget about God, that we don't make time for Him. That we get so busy making a living that we don't really experience life, that we don't really enjoy life with God. We work hard to pay the bills and to advance our careers and to provide opportunities for our kids. And in so doing, sometimes God can get crowded out of our lives. He doesn't remain in the center of our lives. Have you ever told yourself, you know, that this is just a busy season, and I'll focus on my faith when life slows down? But somehow life never really slows down, does it? And God gets the leftovers. And it's never a conscious decision to reject God. It's just that the God's word and God gets crowded out of our lives because of the pursuit of these other good things. And then he says the pleasures can also choke out our faith. See, God gave us our senses and he wants us to enjoy life, but he also gave time frame and he gave boundaries around how it is that we are to enjoy this life. And when we go outside of his boundaries, it'll choke our spiritual life. And sometimes we end up prioritizing comfort and entertainment and fun in our lives, chasing after these kinds of things instead of being faithful to God, and these pursuits can take over our lives. Jesus is using this analogy of a weed as anything that can crowd out God. And that can be anything. It can be a relationship that does that. It can be a job that does that. And if it's left unchecked, these distractions will grow up and they will choke out the spiritual fruit in our lives and drown out the voice of God, and it will prevent us. These things can prevent us from experiencing the life that God has designed for us. So what that means for us is we need to be constantly evaluating these good things in our lives to make sure that they are not, in fact, a weed in our lives and distracting us from God. And then the fourth soil that he describes represents a willing heart. He says, but the seed on good soil stands for those with a noble and good heart who hear the word, retain it, and by persevering, produce a crop. The good soil is the open heart. It's the willing heart. It's the prepared heart. This is the person who decides in advance that they're going to do whatever God tells them to do when he tells them to do it. It's this approach that says, God, the answer is yes. Now, what's the question? That's this fourth soil. And if you'll have that kind of attitude, if you'll have that kind of posture towards God and his word, that he can radically transform your life. And Jesus gives us three words to describe how it is that we can prepare our hearts so that we have this kind of good soil. He says we need to hear the word, we need to retain the word, and that will produce a crop in our lives. These are the things that we can do that create change and transformation in our lives. The first thing he says is that we need to hear the word. That if you want to set yourself up to grow, that you have to intentionally put yourself in a place where you hear God's truth. The reason that God gave us the Bible is so that you and I could hear the kind of life that he wants to give us. An eternal life with him through Jesus. And this full and abundant life here on earth where we are fulfilling his plans and his purposes for our life. So we have to put ourselves in places where we are constantly hearing those truths. And there are a lot of ways to do that. That's sitting here on Sunday morning. For some, it's gathering together in a small group where you open up God's word and you dive deeper and you discuss and you have questions about it. There are countless great podcasts out there or books that you can read. But what this means is that we have to be intentional about consistently putting our lives and our minds in a place where we can hear God's truth. But that's just where it starts. If all I do is just hear God's word, I'm not going to be where I need to be. In fact, I don't know if you noticed it or not, but all four types of people in this parable, everybody heard the word. Some heard and it bounced off their hard heart. Some heard and it dried up in their shallow heart. Some heard and it was choked out by a distracted heart. But then some heard and they did the next thing. They retained the word. When we retain the word, we cling to it. We accept it as the word of God, and we respond and we are obedient to what it says. We come to it like a James 1:22 attitude. It says, do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. And that means that I am obedient whether I understand it or not, whether it makes sense to me or not, whether I like it or not, whether I agree with it or not, I am coming to it and I'm accepting it as the word of God that's coming from a loving Father. And I understand that if I will follow it, that he will lead me, that it will lead me to the life that he has for me. And when you do, when you are obedient to God's word and you begin to align your life with what he says is right and true, the word comes into your life and it begins to produce some things in you. God begins to change you from the inside out, and you start seeing things like love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and self-control coming out of your life. And for some of you, that's happening. You've started surrendering your heart and your life, and you're actually doing what God asked you to do, and you're like, you know, I'm far from perfect, but God is doing something in me. And there are some things coming out of you that have not ever come out of you. Like your kids are acting like heathens, like they always do, but instead of losing your mind, you calmly and gently say, hey, honey, is everything okay? And your kids are doing a double take, like, hey, where's mom? And you're just as shocked as they are about your response to them. Or maybe you're driving down the interstate and someone cuts you off. And normally that would induce in you this Yosemite Sam type of response to them. But instead you find yourself like, maybe they're just in a more of a hurry than I am. God bless them. And in your mind, you're thinking, what is happening to me? Who am I? And you realize that God is doing a work in you. And his truth has found good soil. And it's producing this miraculous fruit in your life. You see, when the word of God really takes root in a good soil, in a willing heart, it shows up in your life in these miraculous ways. It shows up in the way that you treat people. It shows up in how you handle your finances and how generous you are and how quickly you forgive and how you are able to have peace in the midst of the storms of life and your excitement for worship and coming here on a Sunday and your excitement for sharing your faith and what God is doing in your life to the people around you. And it's noticeable. And what Jesus teaches us through this parable is that God is always speaking to us. That God is always sowing his truth out there. And our ability to see lasting change really comes down to the condition of our hearts. And here's the good news, is that God never gives up on us. And he can change the condition of our hearts if we come to him. So before we leave, I want to challenge you with a question. To really think through this, what is the current condition of your heart? For some of you, you've been the hard path. God's been speaking to you, but you haven't been listening. You haven't been hearing it, and you've kept God at a distance, at an arm's length. Maybe you've been hurt and that's what's caused the hardness. Maybe for you, it's bitterness or cynicism that you've tried some things in the past and it's left you cynical, or you've seen other believers not really change and it's left you cynical. And you've decided, or maybe for you, you've decided, you know what, pridefully, I've already got this life figured out and God, I don't really need you. But deep down, you know something's missing. Deep down, there are some things in your life that you want to see changed in your life, but you aren't seeing it on your own. So if your heart has grown hard, ask God to soften it. Just a simple prayer, acknowledging, God, I've been resistant to you. I've been hardened to you, but I want to hear from you. So God, would you soften my heart? Would you till up this broken heart so that I am receptive and open to your word? Others would say, you know, if I'm honest, my heart has been more like that shallow soil. You've had those moments where faith felt real, but then when life got hard, you drifted. Or the excitement wore off and you just stopped showing up. So what if you made a decision today not just to follow Jesus when it's easy, but to stay connected, even when it's hard, even when you aren't seeing immediate results? You see, if your faith has been shallow, God can deepen it. But what that means for you is that you need to get rooted in his word, and you need to get some people in your life that can surround you, that can stand with you, and that can encourage you when you want to quit, so that you can develop some depth to your faith. And some of you, you've been living in the weeds. You love Jesus, but if you're honest, you're distracted. Your life is just busy. and you're constantly running from one thing to the next, filling your life with these really good things, maybe not the right things. So what if today you started pulling some of those weeds of distraction out of your life? What if you stop saying, when this season ends, when life slows down a little bit, then I'll focus on God. What if instead of saying that, you say, no, I'm gonna start making room today. I'm gonna identify and evaluate some of those good things that may be distracting me away from God, and I'm gonna create some boundary. I'm gonna create some space where I can meet with God and have a deeper faith. And some of you, you're in a season of growth. And man, praise God for that. God is working in you and you are seeing some amazing things happen in your life. And if that is you, if that describes your life, that God has, his word has landed in good soil and you're seeing this change, I'd say, don't get lazy. Continue to step into what God is calling you to do. Continue to take those next steps of faith. And if you have been in this prolonged season where God is really transforming your life, then I would challenge you. Maybe it's time for you to begin planting some of these seeds in other people. Maybe you need to start a small group with a group of friends and sharing with them and opening up God's word with them. Or maybe you need to start sharing your faith with a family member or a neighbor or a coworker. The good news is that God isn't done with us yet. And the condition of our heart today does not have to be the condition of our heart tomorrow. So what will you do with what you heard today? Here's the challenge for you. I don't just hear this message. Respond to it. Take a step of faith in some way so that this really takes root in your heart and you begin to see some change and transformation in your life. I'm going to pray for us. I'm going to invite some of our prayer team to come up. If you need some prayer this morning to kind of work through some of these areas of your life, we'd love to pray for you. Let me pray. God, we thank you. Thank you that your word is living and active. Thank you that you are not done with us, that you are a God who is constantly speaking to us, who is constantly leading us to the life that you have. God, you are a good, good Father. Thank you for not giving up. Thank you for breaking the ground of our hardened hearts at times. God, help us to pull the weeds of distraction in our lives so that we can hear from you more clearly. God, give us the ears to hear. But even more importantly, give us the faith to obey and to follow the steps that you have for us. Thank you for your mercy and your grace that allows for the change in our lives. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, I hope you guys have a great week, and we will see you back here next time.